Hello, everyone, and welcome to this expert audio interview. Today, we're joined by entrepreneur Mike Colwell, the director of the Business Innovation Zone, a startup business accelerator, and the founder of StartupModels.com. Thanks so much for being here today, Mike.
Well, thanks for having me.
So can you briefly describe what it is you do? That was kind of a mouthful there.
Yeah. Well, I run what's called a business accelerator here in Des Moines, Iowa, for all of central Iowa. Des Moines, Iowa area is about 500,000 people, and it's actually quite a thriving startup community. And one of the things I do is I'm kind of the front end of the chain, if you will, for people starting new startups that are high growth potential. I work mostly in the technology and advanced manufacturing space, but I get involved in some other things as well. My role is really as a mentor, counselor, consultant. And my operation, the Business Innovation Zone, is a pure nonprofit. So it's very much a safe zone for entrepreneurs just getting started.
Mm-hmm. And so how are you connected to the financial modeling space?
Well, when I got involved with this, my background's actually in mobile computing and wireless for many years. But when I got involved with this, one of the things that I quickly ran into was most of the entrepreneurs I was working with really never done a financial model for their startup before, and to be frank with you, weren't necessarily well equipped for it, nor should they spend a lot of time on it. And I'm not talking about their financial assumptions, I'm talking about actually building out a model. And so over the first couple of years of working with entrepreneurs, I kept building a more and more complex model to work with them, but yet trying to make it easier for them to work with. My goal was never just to build a model for them, but it was to get them using a model they understood, that they clearly understood their assumptions, and as they moved forward, they could use it as a forward planning tool. And so as that evolved, I had several people tell me it was a pretty nice model, which is always nice to hear. And about, I guess, 18 months ago, we had a couple guys here in town that are both very successful entrepreneurs, started talking about building an incubator out and for startups, high-tech startups, and they approached me and asked me to take it another step. And so it was really an attempt to put something out there that allows the entrepreneur to spend their time working on their assumptions and their financials, not their financial model.
What is your definition of financial modeling?
Yeah, everybody's got a different one. So, you know, I wouldn't call myself a professional financial modeler. That's not what I am. It's not what I do for a living. I have a pretty deep background in it from my past of doing many of the financial models for my former company. And we were we grew our company to a pretty good size company. It was just under $1 billion a year and traded on the New York Stock Exchange. And my role was in the product side, so a lot of the future revenue modeling, future market modeling. So I took those skills and applied it to building out a model for entrepreneurs. So, you know, in this case, my definition of financial modeling is building, I think for lack of a better term, a fairly robust template that allows these entrepreneurs to create a set of financials that would be acceptable to an angel investor, friends, families, and probably an entry point to going to see a VC, but certainly not the whole package that many of the VCs are going to want to see.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I'm not sure I answered your question on defining a financial model, but or modeler, but I think for this sake, it was really trying to build out something that I saw as a sore need that was reusable over and over.
Mm-hmm. And how did you get your background or your expertise in financial modeling?
On the job. So I have my degrees are in information systems and computer science. But within 3 or 4 years of entering the work community, I moved from the technical side of the business into management and marketing and sales. And it's also just been a personal passion of mine. I think a lot of it's just the working with computers. I'm fairly old, so when I was doing a lot of programming, it was mostly in assembly language, and it was a lot of very pure logic. And I find financial models to be somewhat the same. So I think it was a combination of on-the-job training in my role in my last company, and also just my background with training in logic and in programming that allowed me to do it.
Mm-mm. So you don't necessarily need a financial modeling degree?
Yeah. You know, I don't think so. I've never believed you needed a degree to do just about anything. I think that I came from a time when most computer science practitioners were already working in the practice before there was a degree. So I've never believed you have to have a degree to do something. I certainly think it can be helpful if there's something to learn. The type of modeling I'm doing is pretty straightforward. It's basically cash flow, balance sheet cash flow, and income statement type math. So pretty straightforward stuff. I think what's making it a little more interesting that I'm doing on this model is modeling software as a service reoccurring revenue, which is a little bit more complex, and trying to make it really easy for the user. My goal is to make it simple for the user to enter, but also something that then when they're done, they could hand to a financial person who could immediately recognize what they had done, see which parts were the math and which parts were the assumptions created by the entrepreneur.
Do you hold any, you know, financial modeling related certifications or training that you've done?
None formal. Informally, my role in my past was all the way up through vice president of the company, and I had a lot of support from professional financial modelers that worked for us, and so I worked in hand with them. So again, I would say it was mostly on the job.
For someone entering the financial modeling space, what are some tips that you might have for them? Because it seems like you need experience first, but you know, how do you get that first experience? So sure. Do you have any tips there?
Well, I think you can come at it two ways. There is the raw understanding how to build models, but there's also the understanding of the area you're working in. A lot of times the models you're building are directly related to an industry or a practice or a process. So there's a couple different ways to come at it. I think from, like you do in many other degree fields, especially in the engineering or financial space, you come at it from I've got the degree, now I want to go practice the art. And usually your first job or your second job defines where you really settle in the sense that if you have an engineering degree and you end up in the chemical industry, in the process industry, you're probably getting more to that side of things. I think with financial modeling, it's similar. If you're coming out with a degree, trying to find something you're interested in that is interesting to you. For me, it was more the startup scene with software as a service companies was the area of expertise that I personally had and could bring that to, okay, now I need to create a model around it. So I came at it from I understand the practical use, I understand the industry, I understand some of the requirements of the people using the models, being the financiers and the entrepreneurs and so on. So I think there's really two ways to come at it. And I think it's important to pick an area that you personally are interested in. If you don't care for, really, really complex process control models, I wouldn't suggest you get involved in doing those kinds of models. I also, to be frank with you, don't think financial models are tremendously different than other forms of logic models. I think it's all in the same general pool. It's just whether you're working with, which kinds of numbers are you working with? Are you working with dollars? Are you working with volumes? Are you working with, it's really a matter of what type of thing you're working with.
If you were to hire someone to join your team to work as a financial modeler, what would you look for?
I would look for a couple of things. I would look for some experience and I'm not saying years and years, but I'd look for some experience in actually having implemented some models and finding out the results after the fact. There's no teacher like time. You can create the most brilliant model in the world, and then the minute you put it into actual use, I think it's kind of like they say about battle plans, they never survive the first engagement. So I think you'll learn a lot from that. I think that I would look for someone that has some, obviously the basics of the area they're working in. If it's a financial model like I do, I'd want to have someone that had a background in some of the accounting and finance world. Again, what I'm doing is not terribly complex from a complex financial side. I'm not doing the kinds of calculations that stock and bond traders do at all, quite the opposite. I'd probably look for somebody that had been in an entrepreneurial space, that had actually started and run a business, no matter how big. I think it's a mistake to think. I know a lot of people have small businesses on the side. In a lot of ways, that's good enough. It tells me a lot about someone when I see the kinds of models they've done for themselves. And no matter the size of the business. So I would look for someone with that kind of experience as well.
What sort of characteristics would you look for? Maybe the softer skills.
Great ability to ask questions and listen. I think that assumptions are our worst enemy. You get into some of the old Six Sigma work. There's a term called the five whys, where you keep asking why, and they give you the answer, and you ask, why is that? And you keep digging. Mm-hmm. I think the ability to be a real, very good questioner and listener. I did a lot of work in my background on product development, and one of the things we learned is when you're talking to a customer about, quote-unquote, what they want, you have to be a very thoughtful questioner in not asking leading questions. So in the modeling space, if you think, if you're asking questions, you may have a tendency to lean towards something you already know, something you find easier to do, and not really understanding what does the client need, what is their end goal, and who are all the users of the model. So I think a real ability to ask great questions, and I think a real level of patience with interactive change, because rarely does a model get done correctly on the first pass. It's many times quite a set of iterations. Mm. It's been my experience in the past working with, especially I remember working in the world of inventory and figuring how many units we could build out of what we had. There were some really frustrating times because as I learned more about it, I was the customer of the modeler. My questions changed. And so many times a model's being built for one set of questions, and two-thirds of the way through the process, the core question changed. And I think what the modeler has to understand is that's good. That means you're helping them. Even though it can be terribly frustrating to say, oh my gosh, I've got to let go of all that work and start again.
As long as they're paying you, right?
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying. yeah.
For someone looking to increase their financial modeling knowledge, what are some steps that you would have for that?
Oh boy, I'm probably not the best person to ask on that one, just because I'm so focused in the entrepreneurial space. Hands-on experience. I mean, there's nothing like being in the role. I'm a believer that if you're going to, model the role, you probably should have sat in it a little bit. Now, that's not always possible, but I started out my career writing software for blue-collar users that were driving Pepsi and Coke trucks. And these guys were 50-plus men for the most part. Most of them did not have a high school degree. And they went from a pad of receipt paper and a pen to a handheld computer. And there was no getting by the actual experience of going and riding around with those people and watching them do their job. Mm-hmm. So I think the hands-on part of it. Certainly the more math technical side of it, I'm not the best at explaining all that because it's not my deep skill set. The only skill sets I have that are, reasonable in that area are probably more of a statistics background. So I think it's, again, I would go back to build skills that are relevant to an industry or to an application or to a use, and focus in an area that is relevant to the end client. It's too easy to go to what you like, and mm-hmm. not always so easy to say, what is it my clients need? Mm-hmm.
Do you read on financial modeling or, follow other blogs or network?
The only ones I'm working with are other people that are modeling financials of a startup, and call me myopic, but at this point, that's what I'm focused on. So, mm-hmm. I have a friend that used to be a trader on in the PIT in the Chicago futures market, and the models he does for, I think he was working mostly on commodities trading, they're so far removed from what I do that the conversation isn't necessarily valid. I tend to read more of the blogs that are around technique inside of the products like Microsoft Excel, which most of what I do is in Excel. Around techniques for making more bulletproof models, better mm-hmm. ways to keep users from making bad mistakes. Mm-hmm. So it's probably more around that area than it is the core of the model itself. Mm. But again, I find most models that are really useful are the ones that are terribly easy to use and are hard to misuse.
What are some other tools that you use? Is it mostly just Excel?
At this point with what I'm doing, it's all Excel. in the capital raise industry, when you're talking to a venture capitalist, an angel investor, whatever, you know, if they're very interested in your deal, when they start the due diligence process, having printed financials is fine, but what they really want is your spreadsheet, and they really want it in Excel or something very like Excel. That is the absolute dominant tool. And to do anything more complex than that, one, it's probably not necessary with the financial models I'm working with, and two, it's a negative to the investor. And so much of what we're doing with startups is helping them get funded. So yes, it's really pure Excel, and trying to keep it as obvious as possible what's going on in the model so that a third party can read it easily.
What are some mistakes that you've seen, maybe that you've made in financial modeling or you've seen other financial modelers make?
I think the ones that I see from third parties coming in, people bringing in a model, I think starting from scratch, it can be a real mistake sometimes when they don't have something to begin with. Just logic errors, terrible, terrible logic errors when they just, in essence, have proven they really haven't tested the model to make sure that things continue to work correctly when the numbers get large or negative or whatever they happen to do. So many of the ones I see, and again, I'm working with a different breed of cat, are people that threw it together as fast as they could to get over the hurdle. The financial model for them is, oh, I got to have one of those. It's not the core of what they're doing. They're entranced by their startup, and they've got big dreams about how much money it's going to make them, and yet and they'll tell you they're going to get so much to the market, but when you ask them how they're going to get their first 10 clients, they don't know. They're not seeing the financial model as the center of what they're doing. They're just seeing it as something they've got to check off the list. So a lot of what I see are very, I think any real financial modeler would look at it and just say, you know, kind of silly rookie mistakes. But I think more than anything, just validating the model, testing it, and getting other people to use it and look at what they've done. One of the things I did before I put my model out on the financial model I did out on the web was I had over 50 different people try it for me. And several of those people own fairly large companies. They literally entered their entire company financials into it as a future planning tool and used it. And that gave me a tremendous amount of feedback. And you got to have thick skin when you do that, because you've got CFOs of companies that are very, very sharp CFOs critiquing your work. So I think just getting as many eyes on it as possible that have the kind of experience.
So how do the entrepreneurs use that model? Does it help them project profits, or is it strictly just to show them, you know, how profitable their company can be?
You know, mostly what it is, in my mind, the product that I offer them is the spreadsheet itself is actually free. I don't know if you've been over to the website, but it's actually a free spreadsheet, and I'm one that like believes in giving back. So the spreadsheet itself is free, and if you know what you're doing, you'd never need any more. I do sell a companion book to it for $6 off Amazon. The typical entrepreneur is coming into this saying, I need to create a financial model. Their motivation is usually, how much money can I make? My motivation is, what are your assumptions? I think that when you talk to anyone in the field, they want to know, how did you get to that number? I don't know if $200,000 in revenue in the first year is great or horrible. I want to know, how did you get to it? What drove you to that? How many customers paying you? How much money for what each? And how did you find each one of those? So for me, the financial model for new entrepreneurs, for first-time entrepreneurs, is really about getting them to really, really understand the assumptions they're making and consciously understand them, and then be able to validate them. We really press people to do a lot more work in the market than we used to as far as understanding what the uptake will be. You know, there's so many new software companies starting up right now, and at the same time, there are so many stories about the Googles and Facebooks and Twitters of the world making a ton of money, or Groupon going IPO and all this, and it's really easy to get caught up in the positive nature of that. And the hard truth is, usually most of those companies had several years of anonymous, nobody knows them, never heard of them, struggling trying to get to their 10th customer, let alone 10 million. So it's to try to get them to understand that things don't ramp up as fast. And then once they start, and those assumptions start to fall apart on them, which is normally what happens, it's happened to me too, is to use the model as a future planning tool and keep updating it with what you start to understand really are the correct assumptions to make. And so that along with keeping your accounting of what happened, that you're keeping a financial plan moving forward, call it a forecast or a budget, I don't care what you call it, but looking forward based on what you learn about the assumptions you've made. If you assume the sell cycle is 3 months and you get into the market and find out it's 9, guess what? Your cash flow just changed dramatically, especially if you've got inventory. So those are the kinds of things. It's not so much about before the beginning, but it's also about as they move forward. Those first couple of critical years, the faster they can learn and see their mistakes and rectify them, correct them and change or pivot or whatever the latest term is, the better off they're going to be.
So you're sort of talking about financial modeling as the entrepreneur doing it themselves, yeah?
Well, the entrepreneur taking responsibility for it themselves. Most entrepreneurial companies have 1 to 3 people in them. They're not in a position to pay much of anybody to do much of anything. You know, if they become successful, they'll then go hire great experience to do it. But at first, they tend to have to do everything themselves out of financial requirement. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of why I built the model, was so that they weren't working with a faulty model. So that when something didn't add up, they'd hopefully realize, maybe I don't have the ability to make money with this, versus, an error in my model caused me to think I was going to make a ton of money, and then later found out it was just an error in the model.
Hmm. So for somebody looking to work as a professional financial modeler,
yeah,
what are your top 3 tips?
Oh, boy. Top 3 tips, that's hard. I think being an excellent listener, I think really adding a knowledge base in the art or practice they're modeling. And I think just an amazing amount of patience.
Is there anything else you want to add? I think we covered all the questions I had.
You know, I would expect that I'm kind of a different approach to the modeling. I think that I have a tremendous amount of respect for professional modelers, and at the same time, I think that people shouldn't be intimidated away from it if they don't have the degrees and so on. I think that there's a lot to be learned from those modelers out there. So I would encourage, you know, not only the professionals to look at what some of the amateurs are doing, but also for some of those trying to move forward, you know, take a stab at it and try building out a model around what you already know. There are those 2 ways of approaching it. So, and if anybody ever has any questions, I can be contacted through my website, and I'm more than happy to, you know, try to reply to a question on email. Happy to do it.
Well, great. Thank you so much, Mike. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you again. Have a great afternoon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.